Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas with Naturally Green at SaverLife.com. And it is summer. What a day is going to be today and this past week. And so this past week several times I was in Highland Park because it is the most beautiful time to me, the most beautiful time of the year in Highland Park. And with the sunshine today is going to be even better. And the big news really is that there are lilacs in bloom. There aren't very many of them in bloom. I found three, and they weren't in full bloom. They had some flowers open. But with today's weather, and yesterday was pretty mild, there'll be probably a few more. So there are early varieties of lilacs, just like there are of lots of other kinds of trees and shrubs and perennials. Some varieties bloom earlier than others, and don't wait till May to go looking for lilacs. They have not started planting the pansy bed yet, but it looks like they're marking out where they're going to plant and the design for the year, which is, you can't quite figure out, but I would guess this coming week they'll be planting the pansy bed. So today would be a beautiful day to wander through the lilacs, and there will be a lot of people around the magnolias because the star magnolias, the white ones, are in full bloom. The ground is covered with some petals. The trees are in full bloom. The little blue scilla, Gloria the snow bulbs are in bloom as a carpet of blue. There are cherries in bloom. The shad trees starting to bloom. The yellow dogwood is still in bloom. There's a couple azaleas already blooming. And it's crazy. Now you have to look through the lilacs a fair amount to find the ones that are in bloom. And there's like 500 of them, and there's three in bloom. One of them is very close to the path near the Highland, where the path crosses Highland Avenue. And so that one should be pretty easy to spot. The other two are kind of midway in the hill of lilacs. There's a kind of a grass. It's more than a path. I think they use it for vehicles for maintenance, but it goes down through the lilacs kind of at a gentle slope, and they are right near that. So if you get off the beaten path, off the paved path, you may find these lilacs in bloom. And of course, there's lots of other things either starting to bloom. The vinca has flowers on it. There are violets around there. There are multiple varieties of cherries in bloom. One of the weeping cherries is just incredibly beautiful right now. A few of the cherries up on Reservoir Drive by the conservatory are blooming. As I've said before, you have the spring bulbs still in bloom. The daffodils just starting in Highland Park. And you still have this lush green grass, the first lush green growth of spring, and then all of these trees in bloom. It's striking. You should go out and explore because there are other magnolias in other parts of the park. There's you may run into some things that you never heard of, didn't even know anything about. Some of the witch hazel still has flowers on it. Coreolepis, which is called winter hazel, it's in some of the areas where the witch hazel is. There's several spots that have it. That is not showy. It's the flowers are kind of greenish yellow and droop down, and but it's still beautiful. And again, the name is similar. It's called winter hazel. So go up and explore all of Highland Park today and enjoy this warm weather. Put some sunscreen on probably and get outside as much as you can. My pansies and violas are doing beautifully. I'm going to plant some more. With weather near 80 today, there will certainly be people going to nurseries and looking for tomatoes to plant. Let's plant in patience and tomatoes and and basil. But it is way, 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 way too early. It's Mother Nature who's sort of luring us into doing things that are not smart to do this early in the season. So you can certainly plant all kinds of violas and pansies. I've got seeds coming up from spinach and kale and peas, cool weather crops. So they're going to be fine. I mean, the long-term forecast, 10 days out, we're going to have some rain, which is good the next several days. We need rain. Things are surprisingly dry. But, you know, a week from this Monday, a low of 37. Of course, that can change down to 32 or go up. But for the next 10 days, they're not freezing temperatures at night, at least in Rochester. But, you know, the tomatoes and basil and patients and these warm weather annuals, they like it above 50 at night. And, you know, we're going to be around 40 at night. So they are going to be set back even if you do put them in. If you did find a tomato for sale, and most garden centers probably don't have them for sale because they realize it's too early and don't want to encourage their customers to plant when the customers will come back and say, you know, why did you sell them? They froze. But if you wanted to, if you do find a tomato, or maybe you've started some tomatoes and, you know, you want to put one outside, you could put a bucket over it at night when it's below 50, which means putting a bucket over it for the next 10 days at night. You could get one of those wall of water contraptions kind of things that it's basically just plastic with channels for water that holds itself upright when they're filled with water, and that water at night holds the warmth of the day. The sunshine warms it and helps to moderate the temperatures for that tomato at night. So, you know, there's some things you can do, you know, build a cold frame around it, but basically it's just way, way too early. I did see a note that Fruition Seeds is going to be selling transplants this year, and one of the things they said was, you know, we're not going to have those plants until May. We're growing them. They look beautiful, but we are going to wait until May when it's appropriate to plant them. And so they've got their seeds available. They have, if they haven't sold out, they might have some of their organic seed potatoes. You can learn about those on their website. It says their orders are shipping about 5 days after being placed. It says if your account was created prior to January 22nd, you'll need to create a new account. We're sorry for the inconvenience. I think they had to shift their system around. Again, they did. I don't think they had transplants or retail hours last spring, but they will, and they are starting those now. They just don't have everything available for sale because it is too early. And it is colder up in the Bristol Hills. That's significantly colder than Rochester, you know, climate zone colder than, or several climate zones colder than Rochester probably. They are, you have to be extra careful there. At Fruition Seeds, they have a seed starting academy, and they also have a free sowing and growing webinar series that they're doing. They got some cool things going on. A lot of it available on their website, a lot of it for free. They also are selling organic fish and kelp emulsion for you to use with your plants. Lots of cool things. So, if you haven't been down there, I would check a map before you go. It's be a pretty drive this time of the year. A lot of forsythia in bloom, and I generally go down Route 64 south of Bristol Mountain, and then turn right for the gel center, and follow GPS to Fruition Seeds. You can also come up from downtown Naples, and this time of the year, the shad trees will be starting to bloom there, and also wild cherries. Both of them bloom white. They just kind of have different forms if you want to try to figure out which is which, but they both bloom about now, and it's really just a gorgeous time to drive down there. So Fruition Seeds also says stay tuned for cold hardy broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and so much more in late April, and the full parade of peppers, tomatoes, eggplants, ground cherries, zinnias, basil waiting to greet you in May. So again, check them out on Facebook. They are one of several local seed companies. Crossman Seed Company is in East Rochester. They are a more traditional seed company. They go back over 100 years, I think, actually. I'm not sure when Crossman Seeds was started, but a long time ago. And if you have plant questions, you're wondering what to plant, what to prune, anything like that, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Happy to try to help you if you're looking for plants for any particular location. My goal for this year is to reduce the amount of grass in Rochester and have more gardens. So I've done what I can in my yard and several neighbors' yards who really don't have any grass, and try to expand upon that. Working with a friend of mine in Pittsburgh to eliminate grass on a lawn. There's too much of it. It doesn't have really much benefit. It looks green. Hopefully it stays green in the summer, but otherwise you got to water it. And there are so many other plants that could fill that space. It's really, get rid of it gradually if you like. Expand the garden beds, add a new bed, an island bed in the yard. Plant a tree and develop a garden around it. Expand the beds around your sidewalk, around a patio maybe. Create a privacy hedge and a flower bed in front of that. You can get rid of a substantial part of your yard just expanding existing beds, maybe creating one new one. Plant more edibles, too. Plant Swiss chard, all kinds of other great edible plants that are beautiful in the garden, even if you don't eat them. They are ornamental. So look around and see what you can do to eliminate some grass this year. You don't need to dig up the grass, although you can. That's just not much fun. You can use a newspaper, 4 or 5 sheets overlapping a lot, overlapping 6, 7, 8 inches. So you end up with a lot of the layer is closer to maybe 8 sheets thick. And then mulch on top of it so that you can't see the newspaper. And that will kill the grass. That will kill 99% of the grass. Some dandelions may come up. Things with big roots. Most of the weeds are killed, actually, but dandelions, violets, some of those with significant root systems. But the grass dies, the roots of the grass die, the ground gets rototilled by the earthworms, literally. And so they if you ever left a newspaper, a piece of wood out, you know that the grass can die pretty fast, and you'll find worms when you pick that up. That's one of the ways I went looking for worms when I would go fishing as a kid, was under some wood or planters or something. And then if those dandelions come up, you can often pull them out, the entire root, 12, 14 inches of root, because the soil is loosened and the grass roots are pretty much gone from the mulch in the newspaper by the time that dandelion gets nice and large. And by the way, you can also eat dandelion greens this time of the year. They get more bitter. They already are bitter, but they get more bitter when the dandelions flower, which will come very quickly now. it's kind of a short season of trying to harvest dandelion greens. Also, I went to a 1,000-acre swamp this week, and what a perfect day. I went on Thursday, which was pretty hot like today, and there were snakes all over. If you have a fear of snakes, probably not the best time of the year to go to 1,000-acre swamp. But they weren't in the path. You could see them. They were nearby the path. You'd hear the leaves rustle, and you could see that there were snakes. There were a couple little tiny ones. And I probably saw some of the same snakes going, you know, both ways on these trails. They were, you know, not exotic snakes, or no pythons, you know, or anything like that. In some cases, they were grouped together, and I don't know if it is I think it's breeding. One I saw referred to it as a breeding tangle, a coil. And so there might have been 10 snakes just in a ball, almost. Maybe like the size of a small football. And they were fairly close to the path. And I saw a couple of these. So again, I've got to read more about them, they didn't seem to care much about me, so I was able to take a couple photos, and it was fascinating to see this many snakes. Again, you know, the largest one, it was the thickness of my thumb, maybe, and it might have been 3 feet long, which is, I guess, fairly big as a snake, but, you know, if you it's not going to wrap itself around you, and, you know, it's not a boa constrictor. There may well be some poisonous snakes in 1,000-acre swamp. So, you know, you don't get close to them. You don't try and touch them. You know, that's hopefully pretty obvious. I did see one with a little red on the side compared to others that were more green. So I got to look that up. I saw frogs in the ponds, and could hear peeper frogs and tree frogs. Those are going to get louder over this next week, probably. And then there was an island in the, I think it's called the Wayside Trail. There's a wayside pond, and that's kind of the furthest point you can walk as part in 1,000-acre swamp. And it's not a big island. It's the size of, you know, maybe a large dining room or living room, and there were trees on it, small trees and shrubs, and then there were three pairs of Canadian geese who were perhaps setting up nests on that pond. They hopefully weren't trying to kick each other off the pond or the island in this pond, but they were making a fair amount of noise. They seemed pretty happy. But it seemed like it was marginally big enough for three nesting sets of geese. But I'm not that familiar with the nesting habits of geese. So when you go out there, you may see a couple of them sitting on nests. I couldn't tell whether they've laid eggs or were actually sitting on a nest or were just, you know, exploring and thinking about making a nest. You don't want to approach them if they have a nest. You don't want to approach them if they don't have a nest. They can be pretty vicious. So you want to give them a wide berth, especially if they're protecting a mate or a nest. I've seen some of their nests and them sitting on them up at Durand Eastman and the ponds there, and you know, it's kind of fun to see at a distance. Bring some binoculars so you can look closer, maybe. But beware of the geese. So, you know, it was sort of like the Thousand Acre Swamp, the vernal pond where things were coming to life. There'll be a lot of eggs laid in the near future. And we are supposed to get some rain over the next 4 days, which will probably make Thousand Acre Swamp swampier. They do have some great boardwalks, but you need to wear some boots. I went on Thursday and it was quite dry just because we've had such dry weather, but I would definitely wear some boots or something for mud, and just enjoy the sanctuary there. It's really a special place. Tons of birds, of course, and the red-winged blackbirds with their distinctive calls. Just love the reeds and those wetlands. And you're most of the time you're far enough away you can't really hear the road noise, especially if the peepers are singing. And it's it's on Jackson Road, just south of Plank. And I would say dangerously close to Schutz Apple Mill. So I stopped there and got a cinnamon sugar donut Thursday morning. And they make their donuts in the morning. They are perhaps warm if you get there around 9 when they open. I was there around 9:30 and they weren't still warm, but they were even better than they are in the afternoon if they don't run out of them. And so the closer you can get there till 9, the more likely you'll get a warm donut, which is, I mean, even later in the afternoon, they're excellent donuts. I was asking them about this when they bring them out of the, or, you know, bring them out, whether they're still warm. And they said generally before 10, but, you know, closer to 9, the better. And I said, you know, I still like them later in the day. So, you know, they're great donuts. Didn't want to give them the impression it wasn't. I didn't like them. It's just you know, you take an excellent donut. Their cider donuts or fried cakes are I think some of my favorites around. A couple of the others, Kelly's and another one in Hilton. His name escapes me at the moment. Are only open seasonally. Schutz is open year-round. So those are the three places. And so Schutz is the only one open now. My top three fried cake donuts, cinnamon sugar fried cake donuts in the region. And so, you know, they're an 8 out of 10 in my book. When I go in the afternoon, the cinnamon sugar donuts you get from a lot of places that they're made differently. They don't have the kind of crusty outside. You know, those rate about a 4 for me, and that's like most other places. The ones from Schutz, when they're warm, and you could bring them home, put them in the microwave for 10-15 minutes, and they would be nice, sort of regain that warmth without changing the texture. But you know, they're a 12 out of 10 when they're warm. So again, that's very close to Thousand Acre Swamp. But get some apples to enjoy while you're out walking through Thousand Acre Swamp. And they obviously have done a lot of work. The trails are really well marked. It's not a place that you can get lost, I don't think. Partly because it's, you know, 1,000 acres sounds like it's really huge, but you know, it's in the middle of Penfield, and there are houses around it. So you know, you can't get really lost there, I don't think. And again, trails are really well marked, and there are a number of places to sit. There's you know, quite a bit of it has one of several kinds of boardwalks because it is a swamp, and the upcoming rain will make it more so. But yesterday we only got a little bit of rain. It was nice to get a little. My plants, you can almost see the plants appreciating the rain, but we didn't get that much. So today probably is not going to be that very wet there. But after 4 days of rain coming up, it will be more like a swamp, which means it'll be really cool. There'll be that many more frogs and toads and things singing, and I don't know what the snakes will be up to by then. But the snakes were in the sort of the drier upland areas, not in the boardwalk areas. Well, there were a few there, but most of them were in more of the forest areas, which were pretty, you know, wide open. You know, big, huge hardwood trees and lots of leaves on the ground, and there were ramps growing there. So maybe you've seen ramps for sale at farmers markets in the spring. It's a crop that's foraged on the farmer's property, so it's illegal to take them or any wildflowers from places like Thousand Acre Swamp or state parks, or, you know, basically land that you don't own. You should not be harvesting any wildflowers, and ramps are one of those plants that comes up early. It's in the onion family, and so you could saute them. They're really delicious, but enjoy what they look like, but you can't take any of them, and it doesn't seem like anyone does, because there's a lot of them. It's pretty much the only green thing that's really growing vigorously on the ground right now at Thousand Acre Swamp. So I was in there on Thursday and ran into someone I know who said, I wonder if the ramps are growing. And they had just walked by, and right next to hundreds of thousands of them. So they are, I think they were bigger than what they expected to find, and didn't think they'd be up this fast. So that means some of the farmers markets, we may find ramps available, maybe not this week. A lot of the farms are located outside of Rochester and more rural areas that are maybe colder than Rochester and Penfield. So next couple weeks, we'll start to see them. The Brighton Farmers Market is opening tomorrow with limited hours. They'll have their regular hours in May. But for now, I think it's 10 to noon, the hours. Check their website, brightonfarmersmarket.org, and you can get more details on also some of the vendors that will be there. Not all vendors are going to be there for the opening a couple weeks, because it is very limited hours, and there'll be, you know, fewer people out, and some of the vendors have other commitments. This was just announced recently that they were going to open early, and with weather as nice as this, you know, you'd think they'd have their regular hours, but this is not normal weather for April 10th. Well, this is, we are 25, 30 degrees above normal. So through May 2nd, they'll be open 10 to noon, and then May 9th, they'll start their regular season 9 to 1. And that's, again, partly because the vendors, you know, just being out there they're out there earlier to set up, they're out there later to take down, and that's a lot of time to be out there when it's 30 degrees and windy and snowing, which it certainly can in April, even early May. So that's why they limit that right now. So it's great that they're going to be open. Again, fewer vendors probably, but the winter market had been canceled because of the coronavirus, and so there'll probably be quite a few people out there tomorrow, excited about the farmers market reopening. It's a Brighton High School parking lot, and 10 to noon tomorrow. And I don't know if Lighthouse Gardens will be there. It's kind of early, but you could check with them and see about going out and getting some of their transplants and things, lettuce and other things, at their market, which is sort of Honeyoy Lima area. LighthouseGardens.com if you want to look them up. And if you have you run into some great plants, if you have questions about what something is, take a couple photos, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. We will be back with For the Love of Food. Following that, Discover the Finger Lakes, and tomorrow, The Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here at saverlife.com. Enjoy this beautiful, beautiful warm weather.